Blog Talk Radio.
Look, smoke signals. I wonder what they say. Ah, me read him, Kimosami. Let's see, they say, don't forget to listen to Rich Rossi Live. So that's it. Sounds like a wise thing to do. Quick, we better find ourselves a radio. Hi-ho, Rich Rossi Live, and away!
And away we go. Are you around your radio or your computer or your phone? We have a great show today. Don't go anywhere. The textbook, tips, quips, scripts to help you text better, whether it's a romantic relationship, a personal, professional. My sister, Elizabeth Rossi, my favorite sister, will be joining us in 30 seconds to discuss texting. It is affecting us all. Pros and cons of texting. We'll be right back to discuss the new book, The Textbook. Don't go anywhere. Tell your friends to tune in. Back in a flash. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome my favorite sister, illustrious author Elizabeth Rebecca Rossi. You're live.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Your volume's a bit low, so make sure your mouth's near your receiver there.
Okay, I'll speak louder.
How's Snowball, your cute little dog, doing?
He is doing great. He's taking a nap this morning, right now, currently.
Well, Snowball doesn't text. Snowball communicates through barks. But many of us now are in this text world, and you've written this book. What inspired you to write this book? What made you feel motivated to write this book?
Well, there's a few things. I think, first off, giving mom a smartphone at Christmas was a prompting factor in writing the book, because she would call me and ask how to send a text, how to save a photo, how to, do all kinds of things on the phone. So I was writing down steps for her and how to do those different things. So I would send them over. And then I started thinking there's probably a need for this out there, because smartphones are still relatively new in the overall retrospective of things. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to use them or the best way to use them. And then I looked into texting specifically, and it's actually become the number one form of communication. Like, it's something like over 90% of people text now. So, and there's so many pitfalls to texting that I thought it was so important to just capture those pitfalls and make people aware of them. Because I think, as a society, people are starting to feel more and more disconnected rather than connected. And we have this great little device in our hands that allows us to connect with virtually anyone in the world, and yet we're not using it in the right way or the best way to be able to connect with those people. So I think those two factors were the main inspiration for the book.
Yeah, and our mother, who's, I don't know if mom, if you're listening, but she's texting away. I've seen her on Facebook. She's taken to Facebook, Instagram. I saw her on Instagram. I was like, whoa, she's really taking it. Now, Tim Cook from Apple just said the other night on NBC World News he's very concerned about the disconnect. And he made some shocking statements that people need to be limiting their time texting and on the phones and looking into each other's eyes more. And everyone was shocked because, I mean, this is their business, obviously Apple and iPhones. And he's very concerned about that same thing. This is a basic term definition, which is kind of probably a might sound like a dumb question, but what qualifies as a text? The reason I ask is, obviously, phone to phone is text, but I have people, if they send me a message, say on Facebook, they'll say, "Did you see my text?" You know, and it was a message on Facebook. So some are calling a Facebook message a text. What qualifies as a text?
That's a great question, Rich. I feel like for the purposes of the book, it really covers any form of electronic communication. So whether that's instant messaging,
you include email?
Email, texting, Snapchat, Instagram messaging, Facebook, you know, all of those, they're all kind of captured under the same, they all have to share the similar, you know, pitfalls in characteristics that I talk about in the book.
Now, the book is called The Textbook, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at your website, errossi.com. You mentioned in your book that there's $585 billion in revenue from texting. That's a lot of money. Do you know how that's made? The business side of me is trying to figure out, well, how is someone making billions and billions of dollars over people texting each other?
I think it's just from people subscribing, the phone subscribers with, you know, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, the main providers
plans.
Of the smartphones. Yeah, the phone plans and people signing up and the percentage, you know, of cost versus profit within their subscription packages.
On page 21, you say, not to give away too much of the book, but you say it's not great for extended conversations, deep emotions, that can cause more havoc. Excuse me. that's an interesting thought, and it certainly rings true that you're not getting the emotions, you're not looking in the face, you're not, you know, you can project like a Rorschach test, project things into it. So you've seen that go awry when people try to text something of a heavy nature.
Yeah, 100%. So in that specific section within the book, I'm talking about the purpose of texting. And text messages, when they were originally invented, they're 160 characters long, and in the SMS text messaging.
The SMS, so, and you make a distinction between the SMS and the MMS. Could you maybe clarify that? And are they still limited in characters now?
Yeah, 100%. They're still limited in the SMS to 160 characters. And that's really the original intention of texting. Was supposed to be quick little messages, you know, going to be late, 10 minutes late for dinner. You soon, or you know, whatever it might be, they're not really meant for long extended conversations, because later in the book I talk about kind of how you mentioned earlier, one of the pitfalls of texting is that you know, we as human beings have evolved for decades and centuries in our communication skills, and 93% of our communication isn't in the words that we say. It's in our facial expressions, our body language. Yeah, so with any form of electronic communication, the texting or instant messaging or others, emails, that 93%, I believe, is removed, and all you have are the words. So,
you mentioned it's not good for long messages. If someone did want to send a longer message, do they have to switch to MMS, or do they just send text after text after text, continuing the same thing? Or how does, if someone did want to send a very long message, what would they do?
Well, if someone does want to send a longer message, first off, I would just take a step back and think, you know, why not just give them a call, first off?
Yeah.
Secondly, if they still want to send that long text message, they should definitely switch to MMS, which doesn't have the character limit. If they use SMS text messages, the long message will get broken up into, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 different text messages that are sent, and then they can arrive in any random order, you know, because the network that the text messages travel over, it doesn't know, you know, the order of of how they should go. So the receiver of those text messages will just get this random puzzle and have to put it together. And one of my friends in back in Pittsburgh, Angel, she just ran into this and wasn't aware of that. Last week she was telling me she sent a long text message and it was broken up and the receiver was confused. You know, they didn't know. So, excuse me, that's a prime example of when to switch to MMS.
MMS, for those of you listening, is a multimedia service. You can send, her book goes into hell.
Mm-hmm.
You can send pictures and other things versus SMS, short message service. I'm hearing now, and it seems deplorable to me, of, you know, guys breaking up with girls over a text. I mean, it seems like people are using this for heavy stuff. In fact, I hear a lot of complaints from single women that the guy
mm-hmm.
has like a text wall, like he avoids talking on the phone. And so they're like, are we in a relationship or not? The guy doesn't even pick up the phone and call me. And one guy even got irritated when
mm-hmm.
she texted, call me. He said, how do you like me to call you and say, text me? I mean, I don't want to call you. Yeah, I just like to text. And so it's become a situation where it's really strange in the dating world, it seems, because you know, people lack, a lot of times guys or adolescents in men's bodies that don't have the backbone to man up and just talk to the woman. It's a very strange phenomenon and with some of the way it's affected dating, it seems.
Yeah, texting has had a whole bevy of, like, social impacts that have affected dating. It's affected the work life, family life. The impacts of texting have really, we're feeling them. And, you know, being a single lady here in L.A., I definitely see that in the dating world myself.
You know, I told our daughter, Karis, you know, that people need to have the balls to, excuse me, the backbone. I better watch my, don't get in trouble with the FCC. But these men need to have people need to, you know, demand respect.
The kahuna.
You know, if something's important,
yes.
Demand a call. And, you know, that effect with Princeton, when they came to interview people at Azusa, where she was doing her bachelor's, you know, they were going to pick someone for Princeton. And Karis told them, you know, look, and they said, we'll email you or something like that. And Karis said, look, this is important. If you pick me, you know, have the backbone to call me on the phone, on the telephone.
Yeah.
Not send me a text
mm-hmm.
or an email that you pick me. Some of the people are like, oh, man, you might have jeopardized this, you know, you were a little sassy to them. But here we were sitting at breakfast in the phone rag here, and we had a note
mm-hmm.
that you insisted on being called if you were selected, and, you know, and she picked up the phone. They actually did honor her request to call her with such important news that she was accepted for Princeton. And so it's you almost have to train people how to treat you with texting, I think. Although I must say, though, I've noticed
yeah.
with the young generation coming up that they don't have those kind of distinctions of, like, they seem to almost, some of them lack now the literate skills of writing a letter or writing cursive or having a conversation, and texting is their go-to for everything. Because I had a woman call me recently, a dear friend of mine, about her grandson, who's a teen, and
mm-hmm.
has a horrible relationship with his mother, who's very, very abusive, and he had to say some things to his mother of a very personal nature about their relationship and how he's been hurt and things like that. And he sent this big, long thing in a text, and the grandmother read it to me. And it was so moving about, you know, how he's been hurt and how he wants a relationship with his mother and everything. And this big, long thing he sent in a text. So I think some of these teens, they don't make these distinctions that your book makes on page 21 about, you know, this isn't a good medium for extended conversations, emotions. It seems like the teens coming up, they use it for everything, huh?
Yeah, I think they do. And, you know, I feel like they're missing out. Because in those kinds of conversations, it's so important to have that. It's a conversation. It's a back and forth. There's emotions involved.
Mm-hmm.
And with 93% of the way we've evolved to communicate, with that 93% gone, and the mom in that case just receiving those words, she might, you know, become defensive or angry, or and instead of seeing her son in front of her and seeing the impact and his sadness and grief or his emotions and what he's dealing with. So they're missing that connection. And that's the main reason why I wanted to write the book, is because to just help people connect better and realize the purpose for texting and bring back kind of building those bridges between people instead of, you know, people feeling more disconnected.
Well, you've done a great job, and the book's an easy read that gets into the technical side as well as this personal side. So you'll get this book if you're listening live here or to the replay, which we get more replay listens as time goes on. The book is called The Textbook, Elizabeth Rossi, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and at our website, errossi.com. If you want to send a question, you can email it to richardrossilive@gmail.com, or you can call in the phone line that's on your screen there, 347-637-2379. So hold on, Elizabeth Rossi. We'll be right back with you in about another 30 seconds after an program identification. We'll be back to talk about texting.
Gee, I don't mean to bother you, Doc, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It certainly ties up all the loose ends with Christian talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, Doc.
Well, thank you, Columbo, and we are on the case investigating texting, the textbook on texting, tips, quips, scripts, help you text better. A recent study that was on the World News NBC about 2 weeks ago talks about parents neglecting children, and I've seen that, but out of McDonald's or whatever, and you see these two adorable little kids, mommy, mommy, and the mom's just, texting away, ignoring the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They did a study of how it's profoundly affected psychologically kids from all ethnicities, socioeconomic, the parents are on the phone now. I forget the time.
Mm-hmm.
They did give the report. I can't remember. I think it sounded like it was 9 hours a day, but I can't remember. I don't want to quote that, but the parents are texting. What can someone do if either they themselves realizes they're texting too much and not connecting with the people right there with them? Or, I mean, people are texting people in the same house. I mean, it's kind of funny, but
mm-hmm.
our kids, Josh and Karis, I've seen them, texting each other right in the same place. What can be done to keep the healthy boundaries with texting so that we don't fall into these pitfalls?
Wow, that could be a whole nother book. But, I think just recognizing and taking those moments and just being present and being where you are, and there's a whole, at least, here in LA and Venice, and I'm sure in other places, appreciating being with your kids while you have them and while they're there, because they're going to grow up so quickly and you're on your phone and you're missing that. So I would, set that boundary, put the phone down, turn on the do not disturb feature, and even just starting with, say, 10 minutes. Put your phone down for 10 minutes, and if you get the instinct to look at it, just, wait the extra 7 minutes or whatever it might be, and then maybe start with 5 minutes or start with 10 minutes and build your way up, because it really is a distraction in many ways, in many cases. Any kind of the notifications like that, just put it on do not disturb, and just in enjoy life, because you're missing those moments and those connections that you could be creating with your children, with your spouse, with your friends.
So it's kind of like have a dog when
you
ring the bell. It's like a conditioned response. And you mentioned in your book about time zones and not calling people in certain time zones.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the middle of the night or whatever, but I mean, that seems to infer, do you think most people actually have them on with the volume on while they're sleeping? Because it seems like when people are sleeping, why don't they just turn it off? But, I mean, is that, do you think that's common, that people have their phone, and even in the middle of the night, if they hear the ding, they're conditioned to get up and answer it?
Yeah, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there that do, for whatever reason, leave their volume up or phone on or overnight. You know, I think it's healthy to, you know, for sure take a break from your phone. And most phones nowadays do have a feature where within the Do Not Disturb feature, which turns off all of your alerts and notifications, or it turns off the sound. It'll still show up on the screen, but it'll turn off the sound at least. So you can turn your phone over, and, you know, if you wake up at 3 in the morning wondering if so-and-so texted you, you can always just take a quick peek and look, but you're not getting that constant ding of text messages and emails coming in. So I think
speaking
that's
of emails coming in, we have some email
way.
Questions coming in, so I'll be right back to check that. And if you want to call in a question, call 347-637-2379. If you want to email a question, richardrossilive@gmail.com. We'll be right back with an email question.
Attention! All you radio listeners, I want you to listen. Now, if you're like me, you want a show with spirit, why, set your sights on Rich Rossi Live. That's all. At ease.
Deborah from Indiana is asking about time expectations to return a text. What is reasonable? This is a great question. I'm kind of shocked at the Gen X or the teens coming up and how they are so demanding with instant response time. You know, I've had our kids have friends where they get upset with them and, you know, you didn't return my text, and they were doing something. They were recording an album or they were off on an activity and had their phone off. I've seen single women I know in tears, and they said, oh, please pray for me, Richard. I like this guy, but he hasn't returned my text. It's been so long. And I'm thinking it's been days or weeks or something. And how long has it been? It's been a whole hour. In your book, Elizabeth, you talk about return a text within a reasonable time. You use that phrase, reasonable time.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on what is a reasonable time to return a text?
Well, first I want to thank Deborah for her question. That is such a great question. And in the one chapter, Avoiding Texting Pitfalls, I specifically talk about how this is a pitfall. And the subchapter is called Being at Each Other's Text and Call instead of Texting
Call. Yeah, that's
call,
clever. And you also mentioned something
call.
I didn't know, that there's technical things that can go wrong in the delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is for sure a pitfall of texting, is that, you know, everyone believes or thinks that everyone else is instantly available. Well, you send
right.
a text and you don't get something back in 5 minutes. What's going on? So, you know, I think it's perfectly reasonable to get back within the same day or even the next day. Like, let's take off some of those expectations, because people have lives. They are in meetings. They're, you know, there's times when I'm in all-day meetings for, you know, 8 hours or so, and we're not supposed to have our phones with us.
Do you
so
have any needy,
text
I don't
want to
put
I
you
get.
On the spot, but do you have any kind of needy
mm-hmm.
codependent friends that are mad if you don't return the text within a day or something like that?
Oh, I think everyone's run into that.
I have
yeah.
a friend of mine who shall remain nameless who's listening right now, who we have a mutual friend, and this girl seems like the sweetest Christian girl. Her face is like, you know, apple pie. And my friend was on a hike and had the phone off and didn't
mm-hmm.
return the text. You know, it was a few-hour hike. And this, you know, worship-leading, church-leading, you know, Christian woman turned into Medusa and sent her text cussing her out and dropping F-bombs and who do you think you are, and all offended that she didn't return the text in a couple hours.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the receiver was out on a hike, probably out of cell phone range, and not
yeah.
able to. So I think just keeping that awareness, and so that's another important key thing. There's so many pitfalls, and just being aware of them and, you know, lowering our expectations and being grateful for each other. In
I think it's really for codependent type of people. It's a real problem with dating. Now I've been married 35 years, so I'm not in the dating world. But so many singles tell me their dating stories and problems. But the codependent type of person who's very needy and is not, you know, okay with themselves and looks to the other person to be their source of joy and their source of happiness and their salve of, it seems like this fosters a lot of codependence where they get very demanding. I knew a guy that was a doctor and he was in surgery, and you know, he was dating one of these very needy, clinging vine type of women, and she was freaking out. You know, it's like you expect this man, and you know, to drop, you know, surgery and return your text within an hour. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's for sure a lot of pitfalls with texting, and speaking of doctors in the medical field. I, through with the research with the book, heard of a couple stories of in the business world how texting has affected sales. It's affected, there's been liability issues that have come up. There was a doctor who had authorization to text message with, you know, with the patient. The patient said that's fine. The patient reached out via text with a question about their treatment or something. The doctor responded via text using a medical acronym in the message. The patient misunderstood that medical acronym to mean something completely different. You know, did whatever they thought the treatment meant, and as a result, ended up having to get part of their leg amputated. So it's, you know, there's very smart people like doctors and, you know, doing, you know, just silly things over texting. So, like, raising this awareness is so important. I have another story of a customer who the salesperson kept reaching out with a new product. Hey, do you want to, you know, leave this new product? Da, 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 da. And they kept reaching out. And the customer, you know, finally at some point just responded back, no, thank you, not interested. The salesperson sent a message saying, thanks for the FU, period. So the customer was just in shock. They were offended. They're like, I'm calling the corporate office. I'm talking to the head of sales. He forwarded the thread of messages. And so the head of sales, who nearly was going to fire the salesperson, he spoke with them, and the salesperson said, oh, no, 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 hold up. I meant thanks for the follow-up. So that's not what I thought at first.
Yeah, you mentioned in your book that a lot of the abbreviations can have multiple meanings, and that's a really good example of that. My wife is, I'm sure, glad you're mentioning the danger of texting and driving, as she did a puppet short film PSA about texting and driving. You talk about how it's illegal, I think, in 47 states that your book says. Do you know, is there a difference between California, where we now live, and our home state of Pennsylvania, or is it similar, or is Pennsylvania a little looser with the phone, cell phones, and driving?
Well, in the book, I have the specifics for the different states listed. Of course, texting and driving is illegal in nearly all the states. Most of them, you can't even hold your cell phone. So I'm not, you know, aware of off the top of my head what the differences are between California and Pennsylvania. But it's in the book.
Oh, and you mentioned just now the FU example, and you talk about business communications, avoid the abbreviations of words and the shortening of words. That makes sense, because it does seem kind of uneducated or unprofessional to shorten words like, you know, C C-U-Z, cause, instead of because. That, personally, that's fine, but in a business setting, it makes sense to write things out and be more professional.
Yeah, especially in the business setting. Even within, like, personal relationships and texting, you know, until you have a relationship established with that person, I would even avoid acronyms at that point, because even, you know, probably one of the most common acronyms, LOL, you know, it can mean laugh out loud, lots of love, and there's actually over 100 other variations of what LOL can mean, depending on where you are geographically, depending on what industry you're in. If you're text messaging a friend who's in insurance and you send LOL to them, that could mean loss of liability. Or, you know, so, like, you know, accountants, it means something else. Lawyers, it means something else. But, you know, so depending on the industry that you're in, you know, and even the area, like, there's a group in Louisiana that uses LOL, and they're called the Ladies of Louisiana. So, you know, signing off with an LOL may not always think that, you know, may not always mean what you think that they're, how they're going to interpret it. So until you have, you know, any kind of relationship established, friendship, you know, whatever, with someone, I would just avoid acronyms. You know, it takes, what, 3 extra seconds and maybe 7 extra taps to spell something out. Just take the time and remove the ambiguity.
Well, we have a gentleman who's an Aussie named Don, and he said he has run into the situation we described about the text wall, in this case with a lady that he's interested in. What can be done for a relationship where there's someone just texts, but they seem to not want to call? They seem to not want to talk. They seem to not want to go beyond it, stuck in the texting realm. You do, I think, have a page that talks about some tips, quips and scripts on how to move it from texting to an actual conversation, I think, in the book, if I recall.
Yeah, in the last probably third of the book, there's sample text messages ready to send that people can just, you know, they can modify them if they want to, or just send them as they are. But there is a section in the back of the book that give some examples of how to move it from a texting conversation to a phone conversation. And, you know, if someone, this kind of, in my opinion, this goes to the person's value and their interest. And if someone isn't willing to pick up the phone and talk to you, or to move it away from texting, then you have to evaluate, is that the kind of person that you would want to be in a relationship with? You know,
yeah,
so you have to look
at
it from that angle, too.
The person doesn't want to face that, that this person might not have a high interest if they're not willing to do that. I see that all the time where I notice it more with guys, but in this case with a woman towards the man, where it's a way of keeping distance to just keep it on the texting. Let's see here. Another question coming in. Okay, Miguel asks, how common is it to ghost on texting convos, versus saying I have to go with the TTYL, which I mean, talk to you later, probably, right? Talk to you later.
See,
it feels
acronym.
Rude when someone's texting me and they just disappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a form of etiquette, or do people just quit in the middle of a texting? You know, all of a sudden they quit responding, and they had to run or to work, or they had to go take a shower, or they had to, you know, do whatever. So they just stop. You know, you're going back and forth a little bit, and they just stop. Is that
mm-hmm.
rude, or is that normal? I know we've probably all done that. Or does etiquette demand a I got to run. I can't keep texting right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to get to work, you know.
Well, thank you, Miguel, for the question. That's a great question. You know, I think we're all we've all probably fallen victim to being on both sides of that coin, to from having to run and not close out a conversation, and then also like being in a conversation and wondering where the other person went. So I feel like we've all probably been on both sides of that. In the back half of the book, there's some texting templates for conversations, and there's, I think, like 100 different ways to close a conversation. So, you know, I think it is good etiquette to send, you know, a talk to you soon or have to run or, you know, BRB for be right back, you know, whatever it might mean. But,
although with misinterpretation, someone might think that's bring beer.
Yeah, that could be. See, those acronyms, they get you. But, you know, I think it is good etiquette to close out a conversation. That said, I know there's been times when I've had to run and you know, I haven't been able to. But I think in most cases, I think it's a good thing to do just to, you know, again, let that other person know, like, hey, gotta run. But, yeah, really good question. And unfortunately, like, ghosting can happen. And if, you know, if in that case, if you want to carry on the conversation, then, you know, shoot another text message or two. And if they don't, you know, just wait for them to hear back. Maybe they went on that hike for 3 hours or something. And, you know, if they're a friend or someone that's interested in then they should respond.
I don't know if it's a real quote. I've seen a quote out there from Einstein about when technology exceeds our common sense and intelligence, we've become a generation of idiots. And some of the behavior that you yeah. and I have seen you address in your book, like you got the Anthony Wieners out there sending, you know, pictures of their privates on text. I mean, the kind of crazy, stupid things that humans are doing now with but we, you know, I won't give away everything in the book, but get the textbook, Elizabeth Rossi at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or errossi.com. Speaking of TTYL, we've come to the end of our time. We'll talk to you all later. But I'll come back after a program identification and give you the final word, Elizabeth. So, and then we'll have to TTYL the listeners. But this link is good in perpetuity. I know not everyone can listen live. They're at work. So just share this link with your friends who missed the live interview, and they can listen to the replay. So we'll be right back to have a closing thought from Elizabeth Rossi on texting tips, quips, and scripts to help you text better. Be right back.
This is terrible, terrible, terrible. You understand me? Look, I don't want you to tune in to Rich Rossi Live tomorrow, next week, 3 weeks. I want you to tune in to Rich Rossi Live now. Oh, yeah!
Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and I want to give you the final word on texting and how to get your book and all that stuff. Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, you know, I feel like we have this powerful device in our hand that we can use to communicate and connect with other people. And the book itself is filled with tips on how to do that. And even if there's only one or two tips in the book that resonate with you, but if you use those tips in your communications with other people, it's going to build better communication and better relationships. So, you know, enjoy the book. I'd love to hear any feedback from anyone. Just hop on my website, errossi.com, and I'd love to talk to the listeners.
I'm getting a message, and they're really mad at us that for this whole 40 minutes we haven't been returning people's texts.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Why haven't you returned my bleepity bleep text? I've been texting you for the last 40 minutes.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we've been tied up with on the line.
Well, thank you for coming
Richard,
on, and I, you know, take a bow for writing this book. This is quite an accomplishment, and
you
do a very thorough job of both the personal part, but also the technical part, and the, you know, how to use your phone and how to do different things that I didn't know. You know, so many things you mentioned the technical side too, with, you know, how to you know, put a text to send at a later time and all kind of technical things. So thank you for coming on, and everyone listening, the textbook will greatly benefit you unless you're living on another planet and don't have to deal with texting. This will be a very helpful book for you. Well, thank you for coming on, Elizabeth. I'm going to have to keep you as a sister.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah, I'll keep you as a brother, too.
Okay, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Go with God and be blessed, and keep listening to Richard Rossi Live.